Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Wow, I can't believe this. A whole week's gone by and we're back.
I know.
I mean, it seems like we were here 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway.
At least.
Yeah. Time goes faster and faster.
It does.
In fast forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
But anyway, last week.
Time marches on.
Marches on.
Yes.
Last week, we did a show about ambassadors and what it meant to be an ambassador. And for like a 30-second summary, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, where Paul says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And we talked about how an ambassador doesn't have his own authority, but he presents messages to the country that he's in from his government, from the authority over him.
Yes.
So we are under God's authority to present the message of salvation. And the message that he wants us to preach is that we are reconciled to God through Christ, through what Jesus did on the cross, through the blood. And this is what we represent. This is what we've been commissioned to represent.
Mm-hmm.
And an ambassador does not add his own opinions and doesn't add his own, you know, ramblings to the message.
Right.
And he presents the message as his government gives him the message.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it was that the embassy in a country is a sovereign part of the country that sent him. So, for example, the American embassy in Morocco is actually the United States. And the laws of the United States apply to the people living in the embassy, not the laws of Morocco.
Right.
And we talked about how embassies are defended. And so the outside country can't just come in.
Mm-hmm.
And that we in the church, who are ambassadors, and if you look at the church as an embassy, we unfortunately are now experiencing the world slowly coming in to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So the defenses to the embassy have been breached.
Yes.
And this is not a good thing.
No, it's not.
And this is basically what we did in the last show.
Yeah. Yeah. We visited Morocco. I mean, no, we talked about Morocco. And,
I just wanted to go there, but now I'd be kind of scared.
I was gathering that from the last show. You mentioned Morocco a lot. But anyway, there is an encroachment, if you will, on the word.
Yeah.
On the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and they really weren't believing something about the stories about the chaplains, the army chaplains who were,
yes,
when the shutdown was there, that they were, you know, being forbidden from, you know, performing any of their duties because they weren't really technically on the clock. But then again, who is?
Lord doesn't have a clock.
Yeah, it's all one, you know, a minute, a second, an hour, a thousand years.
A thousand years is like a day.
Yeah. So, he was saying that, I really don't believe that that's going on. I said, oh, why don't you believe that? He goes, I just think it's a bunch of propaganda. I thought, well, I said, you know, there are people that really are opposed to the gospel message.
Yes.
And they said, I really don't believe that either. And I thought, you don't? Well, geez, why did those first disciples, why were they crucified then?
Yeah.
If there was no opposition to it?
Exactly.
Why are people being martyred in countries around the world now if there's no opposition to the truth of the gospel?
Exactly.
I just couldn't believe that this person said that. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
How, you know, this is how the encroachment happens, because we fail to see the truth of what's going on around us.
Of course.
And you got to have your head in the ground if you can't see what's going on around you.
We got our defenses are down.
Defenses
we've taken
down.
The Marines away from the door.
You know, we're taking the stand, the posture of an ostrich with our, with our head buried in the sand.
Yes.
Going, I just don't want to see it. I won't believe it. And I just know everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said, strive to enter the narrow gate. Strive.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's demands that are placed upon us as Jesus talks about the talents, you know, the servants who he gives talents to.
Yeah.
One had five, went out and got five more. One had two, went out and got two more. The one who had one and buried it in the ground, he said, depart from you, wicked, you know, mm-hmm. you wicked servant. You know I'm a demanding master.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you didn't even put this talent in the bank or this coin in the bank to earn interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what, you know, as we've been talking about the cross, about discipleship, about being an ambassador, the being chosen by God to serve is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this anointing that comes upon Jesus in the Jordan that every believer should partake in,
yes.
or should understand that they share in. It's not our own anointing. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're to understand what that's all about.
Exactly.
As an ambassador for the kingdom.
Exactly.
And if we don't understand certain things, we're not going to be a good ambassador.
That's our commissioning. It's the same. We've been commissioned the same way.
Right. Right. And if we're not commissioned, if we don't understand our commissioning, we're not going to be a good ambassador, and we're going to make up our own rules.
Exactly.
We're going to make up our own theology, and we're going to confuse a lot of people.
Yes.
And when we get to those pearly gates,
yes,
we're going to have to answer for what we've talked about.
And you can see that happening.
Yeah.
You can see people who are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors for Christ, for the kingdom that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:20. You can see people who are now essentially making up their own gospel or making up their own, quote, truths, unquote. Oh, well, you know, yes, God does want you to prosper and be rich. And so just ask him, just tell him. You don't have to ask him. Just tell him, hey, here I am, Lord. I'm a Christian now, so I want the house. I want the bonus. I want the job. I want the Mercedes. I think you've promised me all that in your word. And we talked about that, how we're striving along the narrow road. But now there are teachers telling us, oh, there's no striving. All you have to do is come on over here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this
easy.
Is easy. Yeah. And you walk in there and say, man, this is a great church. I'm coming back again next week. This is nice. There's no sacrifice. There's no discipleship. There's no cross. There's no burdens to carry. It's all fun.
Yeah. It's just like a, you know,
it's all fun.
Yeah.
But they're supposed to be ambassadors for the message. They're supposed to be presenting the message. And not to keep picking on the prosperity preachers, but there's plenty of other weird things going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's oneness Pentecostals and, you know, that, well, there's not really a Trinity. It's, you know, it's all kind of different manifestations of the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go on and on and on because there's been heresies since the beginning.
Yes.
And the church has been fighting heresies since Paul's time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on and on, but this is not what an ambassador is supposed to do. An ambassador doesn't make up a story and then preach it as if it came from the authority that set him there mm-hmm. to be an ambassador.
Yeah.
We can't make up our own opinion.
No.
And, you know, and I have another run, totally politically incorrect thing to say is that we carry, imagine that, when we go out into the mission field, which is, you know, the steps outside the embassy, mm-hmm. the steps outside the church, and now increasingly even inside the church,
yeah.
we carry an ultimatum with us. And we're going to read a scripture, but 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And, you know, the ultimatum that we carry is that we have the message of salvation. This is the only message. Peter said, there is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. There's not another way to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha can't save you. Krishna can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Jesus can save you. Mm-hmm. Jesus does save you. Because as we preach this message of reconciliation, the only way to reconciliation is through the cross, is through the blood of the Messiah.
Exactly right.
And so when Paul talks about being an ambassador, in this passage that we'll have Stephen read here is really shows us what our message is and how important we are. Not we are important, but the message is so important that if we're carrying the message, we're literally bringing life or death to people.
Exactly.
You have that ready?
2 Corinthians
chapter 2, 14 through 17.
But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the order of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are the aroma of Christ for God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, an odor of death that leads to death. To the former, an odor of life that leads to life. Who is qualified for this? For we are not like the many who trade on the word of God, but as out of sincerity, indeed, as from God and in the presence of God, we speak in Christ.
Hmm. So we go out as ambassadors with a message. Somebody says, I don't believe that message. That's crazy. You're crazy. I reject that message. You've just brought that person death. You bring that message to the next person who says, oh, yes, I accept that message. I accept that gospel. I repent and I accept Christ now. You've brought life to that person.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a powerful message that we literally bring life or death to people around us. It's, you know, it's called an aroma. It's called a fragrance. And we bring the aroma of death or the aroma of life, depending how people respond to the message.
Mm-hmm.
I witness to a lot of Jewish people who, when I present the gospel, say, well, no one ever explained that to me before. I see why you think that. But I don't believe it, but I can see why you think that. And I always say to them at the end, again, politically incorrect, I say, now you're in a different position than you were a half hour ago. Because now you either accept what I just said or reject what I just said. And you're in a different position now. Because before that, you may not have understood what the truth was.
Mm-hmm.
But as an ambassador, I presented the plan.
Right.
If you reject the plan, I've just brought death to you. If you accept the plan, I've helped bring life to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about how overwhelming this is, because I'm just nobody, you know, people who are preaching the gospel are just ordinary people.
Right.
We're not anybody.
Right.
We, you know, we're pretty pathetic, actually, when you think about it.
For the most part.
Yeah. And Paul says, who's sufficient for these things? You know, are we qualified to do this?
Yeah.
Are we worthy to do this? No. Are we qualified to be these ambassadors that we are? Of course not. We've been commissioned to do it. So as we do it, we have to always keep that in mind, is we have to be amazed that we're being used to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, that keeps us humble and it keeps us in awe of what's actually going on. So that when you do present Christ to someone who says, oh, wow, you know, I want to think, tell me more about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking about how you proclaim the message and if somebody receives it mm-hmm. or doesn't receive it, you know, how you, it's in the way that we conduct ourselves.
Sure.
And how we conduct ourselves with people, and there's certainly power in God's word and the truth of God's word in what we speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we go out and conduct our affairs in a rambunctious manner, if we cheat, if we lie,
mm-hmm.
if we carouse,
mm-hmm.
and oh, geez, I saw Phil the other night. That guy on the radio. I really didn't see you the other night. But, you know, I saw Steve. Isn't he the guy that's on the radio talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for our testimony?
Yeah, exactly.
And we see it time after time where, you know, a preacher who, you know, has a public ministry,
mm-hmm.
they fall.
Yes.
And a lot of people fall with them.
So many times.
So many times. And it's going to happen because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it any less painful.
Right.
But it does happen, but because we're human.
Right.
And we fall into, people fall into temptation. And as a minister, as an ambassador for Christ, we have to keep ourselves humble. And by really simply asking God for that, if I go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me my heart. If there's if there's any unjust thing in it,
yeah,
show it to me.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord's gonna reveal stuff to me in my own character that I'm gonna have to deal with.
Yeah.
Paul says, I got this thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan to beat me to keep me from getting proud.
Exactly.
Not all affliction is there for. To hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God leaves something there so that we have to turn to Him and ask for His grace because we can't do it on our own.
Right.
And sometimes we think that we can do it on our own and we get into trouble with it.
Yeah.
And then we become an ineffective minister, an ineffective disciple of the Lord, and we don't bear any fruit.
Exactly.
And it's about bearing fruit. We have to help bring in a harvest into the kingdom of heaven, a harvest of souls.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only going to do that if we are serving the Lord with a humble, contrite heart.
Mm-hmm. That's an outstanding point.
There's so much in the world that can distract us from what God calls us to do.
Sure.
And
even things within ourselves.
What Christ has done for me, He's laid down His life for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything more that He could have done?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, there's nothing more that He could do.
Just watch The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
I recommend that to everyone. Think about what we're saying while you're watching The Passion of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it will humble you to the point where you'll be truly amazed at the whole plan.
Yeah. And, if you're in the church ministering, or if you're a street evangelist, or whatever God's called you to do,
mm-hmm.
you're called to do it with excellence.
Yes.
And with a servant's heart, a servant's attitude, because it's not, well, I'm a volunteer, and hey, I'm a volunteer here, so I'm doing something great. Well, if the Lord's called you to do this, mm-hmm. This volunteerism that you're doing, this ministry that you're doing, if God's called you to do that, that's what He's called you to do, and you're an unprofitable servant.
That's right. You're a servant that's doing what you're supposed to do. That's right.
And not that it's, everybody likes to get a nice pat on the back every once in a while. Hey, good job, Joe. Hey, good job, Phil. Good job, Steve.
Sure.
But if we search for that as we're serving the Lord, we're seeking our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to elevate ourselves.
Yes. We want to be honored.
We want to be honored.
Yes.
We want a position of honor.
Actually, we're servants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll lead us. Ooh.
Shofars.
Wow. It'll lead us to shofars. It will? No.
So it's not even sundown. Anyway. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back after this Paul Wilbur song.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
Woo. Anyway, so, you know, Paul talks about how are we worthy to do this? No, we're not worthy to do this. But on the other hand, you know, we're not measured by how successful we are. We're measured by our willingness to serve, our willingness to go out and preach the message. Whether we're successful or not, you know, we're not getting points, you know, we're not getting notches in our belt of how many people we convert. We're going out to present the message. We have to be willing to do it. We have to be available to do it. And we also, like we talked about with what an ambassador does, we have to present the gospel as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't add to it. We don't take stuff away from it. We don't mix our own opinions into it. The apostles went out and preached the gospel, preached the kingdom that Jesus had told him. And after they had been empowered by the Spirit, they didn't teach their own opinions. Their opinions wouldn't have been all that great. They only preached the foundation because they had the foundation on the rock.
Yes.
They had been with the rock. So mm-hmm. their house was definitely built on the rock.
Yeah.
And then they had been empowered by the Spirit. And as you said, you know, they were willing to be martyred.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, hey, listen, we believe in this message. We didn't make this up. This isn't something we concocted mm-hmm. in the upper room.
Right.
And this isn't something we wanted to do as some kind of publicity stunt. If you want to kill me, go ahead and kill me.
Yeah. You know, you read in the Acts of the Apostles where they glorified in the fact that they were found worthy to be persecuted yes. for the sake of his name.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, they rejoiced in it.
Yeah. They didn't add anything to the gospel. They didn't take anything away from the gospel. Mm-mm. They didn't preach their own opinions. And they went through all the known world, and they brought this to everyone. I mean, they engaged Jews. They engaged Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever they went and people gathered around, they preached the gospel. They evangelized people. They prayed with people. They baptized people. They did miracles that people witnessed to prove through their signs and wonders that what they were saying was true.
Right.
They weren't there to entertain the people in the town. You know, the people in Ephesus weren't particularly entertained by Paul. They were yeah. kind of annoyed by him,
yeah,
actually. But, you know, they weren't there for entertainment. Paul didn't show up, set up a band. Like, you know, I hope someday to be a music minister myself. See, Steve always laughs when I say that. Anyway, so, you know, he didn't set up a band and say, well, we're going to play some songs here, and then I'm going to come out and just make some remarks, and, you know, then we're going to move on to the next town. There wasn't like a seeker-friendly kind of a thing,
yeah.
and it wasn't an entertainment show. And it wasn't there just so the people in Ephesus could come around and say, oh, this was good. I mean, hey, this was better than going to the movies.
Yeah.
This is better than anything that's on TV tonight, so let's go down and see what Paul's talking about. I mean, when Paul was talking, there was like serious stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
The word was not corrupted by what was going on either in Paul's mind or in Ephesus. We got away from the Moroccans, but same applies to Morocco. They didn't preach a word that had been corrupted. We have a lot of people within the church now that are preaching words that have been corrupted because they put their own opinions into it.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken stuff out, they've put stuff in, and then next thing you know, the message is confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens, it happens over time because people don't understand the importance of being that ambassador, holding fast to the truth, and knowing all there is to know about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, well, I don't agree with that. You know, when somebody says something, I don't agree with that, what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like when, you know, when Paul went to preach the resurrection to the Greeks the first time.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear more about this at some later time.
Yeah.
Paul didn't change his message.
Nope. Not at all. He didn't adapt it so that people around him felt better about it.
Right. Right.
You know, now we're doing that.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter what church you go to, you're going to be aware of what we're talking about.
How many times have you heard somebody say, you can't tell people that they're sinners?
Yes, makes them feel bad.
Makes them feel bad.
Yeah, then they're not going to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you're diluting the message.
Well, eventually you're going to get to that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, Paul didn't care about that. I mean, Paul didn't care what people there thought about him. He was there to proclaim the message. Mm-hmm. Peter went to Rome and preached. And they said, well, if you don't shut up, we're going to kill you. And he says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, if we hold fast and true to what God has given us, if I don't believe with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul that this is the truth,
mm-hmm.
then what am I doing?
What are we doing? Exactly.
We're wasting our time.
Yes. And you're certainly not going to be martyred for it.
Right. Because at the first hint of martyrdom, you're going to flinch and go, well, I didn't mean that. You know,
yeah,
come on.
I changed
you didn't
it.
Take me seriously, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I was just trying to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that's not what the apostles did. And that's not what an ambassador for Christ does. They proclaim the message. They hold fast and they hold true to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow, you know, we talk about the transforming grace of the Holy Spirit as well on this show. And they allow the Holy Spirit to transform their heart and their mind to be renewed and put on the new man,
mm-hmm.
to be made into that new creation that God has created that person to be.
Exactly.
We come before God. God draws us. He draws us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not in a relationship with God and you're wandering and you're seeking,
yeah.
and you're listening, God will draw you to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that we find God or that we find Jesus. God's never let go of us.
That's right.
Jesus is never letting go of us.
That's right.
He allows us to have our own free will yeah. to choose,
mm-hmm.
but he still draws us.
Yeah. He says, I called you. You right. didn't come and find me.
Right. And if you're listening and you're feeling that calling and that drawing, give your yes to the Lord.
Yes.
And you know, the Lord will make you that creation that he's created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because God sees us as he created us to be.
Yes.
He doesn't see us
perfected at the end.
Right. He sees us perfected at the end. He doesn't, you know, yeah, he sees us in our state, but he loves us too much to leave us there.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he wants to, like the father in the prodigal son, he wants to run up to us and embrace us as soon as we turn to him.
Yeah.
And all it is that turning to him.
Yeah.
And that embrace of the Father's love
yeah.
will envelop your heart.
Yeah. And he put that beautiful robe right over the yeah. smelly guy.
Yeah.
Without asking him to shower first or go get cleaned up.
Gave him
put
a ring,
the robe right over the smelly
sandals,
clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's an ambassador.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
as smelly
right.
as he is.
Exactly right. And this is, you know, this is the gospel in its purest form.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have to get back to.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to evangelize a world if we're watering the gospel down and being like the world. You know, we talked last week when you have an embassy somewhere and you just say, oh, Marines aren't here anymore, open the doors, we'll do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And people from inside keep coming in. After a while, you have a totally different embassy that's now become part of the country around it.
Right.
And the world's coming in and people are preaching these things. And so now people are coming into a church going, you know what? I want to get a better job and I want a better family life and I want to take a course on, parenting and I want to take a course on, retirement planning and I want to take a course. You know, it's becoming less and less gospel and it's becoming more and more world stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come and see if I can lead a better life. So instead of having the agenda of the kingdom, you have human agendas coming in.
It's
are we thinking about kingdom agenda or, you know, are we talking about, well, if I go to that church, maybe I can improve my life.
Yeah. It's not being prosperous for the gospel.
Right.
Or for the kingdom. We've taken it to be prosperous. If I join that church, I can become prosperous.
Yes. Exactly.
What can I get out of it?
Yeah.
And when we enter into that type of relationship in the church.
Yeah.
It's not going to fare too well for too long.
Yeah. And this is what struck me at the end of that passage that you read. in 2 Corinthians, where, you know, one translation I used said that, you know, some people are peddling the word.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought of. And I hate to keep picking on the prosperity people, but, you know, when you're running a church that's geared to improving your life as a person and, you know, having your family life be better and your work life be better and your financial life be better, you're peddling the word, because that's not what the word is about.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting people to come into your church for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because the message of salvation, as we said many times, doesn't matter on your socioeconomic status.
Nope.
Doesn't matter on your race, your color, your creed, your tribe, your tongue, whatever it is. The message of salvation is the message of salvation.
Yeah.
That we have to present as ambassadors. We don't peddle some false message so that people will feel better about themselves.
Right. Because no matter what your financial status is, no matter what your political status is, no matter what your status is within any realm of, you know, human existence.
Yes.
Without the blood of Messiah, it means nothing.
That's right. That's right.
It means nothing at all.
That's right.
Whether you're rich or poor, black or white, Democrat, Republican, independent,
yeah, right.
It means nothing about any of that, because if you don't have salvation,
right,
if you haven't received the gift of salvation that God offers you in Jesus Christ, you have nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And when Paul presented this gospel, he didn't care what people thought of him.
No.
I mean, they stoned him. I mean, he didn't want to be stoned. But as you know, as he writes, I can't remember exactly where it is now, but hey, I've been stoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've been whipped, I've been, you know, and gee, all I'm trying to do is preach the gospel, you know, and the Jews hate me, Gentiles hate me, whatever's going on. You know, he wasn't concerned about himself. He wasn't concerned about his popularity. Mm-hmm. He didn't really care what the people on CNN said about him. He didn't really care what the newspapers were saying about him.
No.
Because he didn't have an agenda that was his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a secular agenda.
Mm-hmm.
His agenda was he was an ambassador for Christ, and he was presenting the plan of salvation as he had been commissioned to do. And that's what he did. So when he went somewhere and said, I just preached Christ and Christ crucified, and the people in Corinth said, dude, you got to lighten up on that. He says, hey, I just preached Christ and Christ crucified. And he just kept at it.
Yeah.
And it's like he tolerated what happened. You know, we're to the point now of, well, if I say anything about Jesus, if I say anything about what I believe, you know, the guy who works at the next desk or my next door neighbor or the guy at the corner store, you know, he may think I'm crazy, or he may not like me anymore, so I better not say anything. Well, if you can't tolerate that kind of rejection, how are you going to tolerate persecution?
Yeah.
How are you going to tolerate a soldier with a machine gun who says, what did you say?
Yeah.
What kind of salvation are you talking about? With the gun pointed at you.
Yeah.
And you say, whoa, no, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you're not the true ambassador. You know, Paul went to jail, you know, so many times. We should read another scripture, but
yeah.
Even in Ephesians 6:20, he says, I'm an ambassador in chains.
Yeah.
Paul's in prison. He's literally chained in a prison, and he's still preaching.
Yeah.
You know, when he was under arrest in Rome, he preached to the guards. He says he even preached to people in Caesar's household. So anybody who walked by, Paul said, hey, come here a second.
Let me talk to you about Yeshua.
Yeah, I'm locked up here, but let me tell you something.
Well, you know, like in Second Timothy, chapter 2, and this is from verse 8, it says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David.
Mm.
This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Woo.
Now, when he says the sake of the elect, those who are chosen,
those
who are chosen to receive the word.
Yeah.
So he's enduring everything for their benefit.
Yes.
Not for his own.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, I'm presenting this gospel and I'm being called an evildoer.
Yeah.
I'm being put in chains. I've been arrested and put in chains just as if I robbed the store, or just as if I killed somebody, or just as if I did some crime. All I'm doing is preaching the gospel, and that's considered a crime here, and I'm in these chains.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we worry about what our neighbor's going to think if we mention Jesus. We worry about what the person at the school next to us is going to think if we mention that we don't think something's right, you know, because we're so scared. You know, the world has us so scared. Paul says, hey, I'm in chains.
Yeah.
Okay? But he says, the word of God is not chained. The word that Paul was proclaiming was not chained. So he was getting out the word as an ambassador, and even if he was chained, the word was still going out because the word is what has the power, as we talked about before when we did the thing about the cross. So it says he'll endure whatever it is for the sake of salvation of the elect. He'll endure whatever humiliation and punishment is going to come for the sake of preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentions that he's an ambassador in chains. So if Paul did that, when you read all the things that he suffered for the sake of the gospel, and he says, I'm an ambassador in chain, we're ambassadors. We're not in chains yet.
Right.
Maybe someday we will be. We're not in chain yet. And we haven't suffered as much as he did by any means. You know, we haven't been martyred. We haven't been whipped. We haven't been shipwrecked. We haven't been, you know, locked up somewhere and chained. And, you know, we can't be ashamed of the gospel because we're worried about whether somebody likes us or not, or we're worried about what the consequences are going to be.
Yeah.
Because that word has power. And as Paul talked about, the message of the cross has power because this is what the center of salvation is. Ooh. I like this song too.
Ooh.
I love this song. We should do a show just about this song.
Okay, that'd maybe next week.
Oof. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Vim ha'olam, praise His name forever and again. Vim ha'olam, vat ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. No weapon that can defeat us.
us here, we will triumph on every side. More than conquerors through the might of Adonai. Though the walls may stand before us and must sin on every side, they come crashing down when they hear the sound of the name above all others. Yeshua HaMashiach, El Gibor, you're the mighty God. Jehovah Nissi, raise your banner. I am the rock of our salvation, the Messiah, our righteousness. Adonai, Yira, my provider, El Shaddai. When the shout of the Lord is in our camp, it's the sound of victory. Voice will wrap the enemy. There's no weapon that can defeat us here. We will triumph on every side. More than conquerors through the might of Adonai. Though the walls may stand before us, they must hear on every side. They come crashing down when we hear the sound of the name above all others. Yeshua HaMashiach, El Gibor, you're the mighty God. Jehovah Nissi, raise your
voice. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, I thought we were going to do two shows about ambassadors, but it looks like it's going to be stretching.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to come back next week and do another one.
I'm afraid so. So, you know, Paul's chained up and he's preaching while he's chained like a common criminal. And he always talks about how, you know, he'll endure all these hardships. I mean, that's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah.
And we were just talking during the break there. Stephen has an awesome scripture that we should probably, do we have time to read it?
I think we do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.
Mm.
In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because they know they produce quarrels. As the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Mm.
That is a powerful exhortation.
Yes.
And
applies to ambassadors.
That applies to ambassadors and everybody. Mm-hmm. Who is a disciple of the Lord. I mean, There's so much in there. We could probably do a whole show just on that passage.
We just might.
We'll probably have to come back next week and do that. But I mean, if we look at just the beginning of this, is about keep reminding God's people of these things. Yeah. Warn them before God against quarreling about words.
Yes.
And how many times in our culture today, words have been redefined, if you will.
Exactly.
To mean something else than what they originally intended to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it confuses people.
Yeah.
And people will insert words in places or phrases to distort what they're talking about,
yes.
To distort the true meaning of something.
Yeah. And he mentions these two guys that have become false teachers.
Yeah.
Himenaeus and Philetus. I mean, maybe these guys were awesome ambassadors and awesome preachers, but now they've strayed from the truth, he says.
Yeah.
They're preaching something. They've added some opinion of themselves that they have into the word.
Right.
And Paul condemns this. Says they used to be good teachers, but now they're taking people away from the truth. Because as an ambassador, we have to preach the word as it is to bring people to the truth. If you start to change the truth, then it's not the truth anymore.
No.
And you take people down a false path.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the book of James, it says, if you're a teacher and you mess up, you're going to be judged at a higher standard.
Exactly. You know, because Jesus says, if you lead one of these little ones astray,
yeah,
you're going to be judged harshly.
Mm-hmm.
If you cause them to sin, you know, you're going to be judged harshly.
Mm-hmm.
And so proclaiming the word as an ambassador for Christ, it's serious. It's very, people's spiritual eternity depend upon it.
Yeah, exactly.
As you said, we preach death and life for someone who receives or for someone who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. These are all very important points about ambassadors. And we have to discern what's going on. We are now in such a situation where there's a remnant of people that are still preaching the truth. There's a remnant of people that are still being faithful and are standing on the rock. And you have to be in that remnant. You can't go down some broad road following somebody who's telling you lies. Mm-hmm. And you have to be like the Bereans, not the Bereans here, but the Bereans in Greece.
I thought you meant down the street.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, Paul did a conference there once because it's documented in the scriptures. Because, you know, it's by the airport.
It was
easy to go in and out.
Exactly.
I mean, he rented a car at the airport, drove over there, and then he drove back. But, or maybe a van went to pick him up.
Could be.
Not sure.
But those Bereans.
Those Bereans. See, Paul says, check out everything I'm saying in the scriptures. And if what I'm saying isn't true, tell me. Check it out. Oh, it's the end already. Yeah. Well, anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would encourage you to go into God's Word and reflect on the scriptures that have been proclaimed and present yourself as one of God's approved, a worker in the kingdom. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.